The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org. Good afternoon. It is 3:42. 42 minutes after the hour of 3 p.m., and you are listening to a belated KTQA Daily Briefing. I am Sam, with me is Becky, as usual, and it seems for a bit longer than we expected, because, we'll get to it in the briefing proper, but we might as well just lead with it. Part of the reason we're late today is because, as expected, there was a public meeting for the city of Tacoma, followed up by a press conference by Governor Inslee, where they extended most aspects of the stay-at-home order until May 31st. It looks like it's not going to be. I was expecting an extension, but it looks like only some aspects of it are going to be extended till the end of the month. And then a lot of the things that people were expecting, it's going to be a graduated back off from the stay at home order, and it's going to be handled more on a countywide basis than on a statewide basis. I mean, we'll get to that in the briefing, but that's the big news. We might as well lead with it and sort of shorten it to what we know before we get to the nitty gritty. So how are you, Becky?
I'm all right. I'm a little bit bummed. It's really hitting me about, the ability to socialize and see kids and things like that. But I think we'll get through it.
Yeah, I think we'll get through it. And I can see the data, too. I see the necessity for it.
I absolutely do as well.
I mean, as someone who likes old time radio, I do pay attention to history a bit. And I'm well familiar with what happened about 102 years ago and how that epidemic was a double dip. And if we can avoid that this time, if we can just go through this just the once, so much the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
What's going on personally? Like, how are we doing today around the house?
We are starting to diagnose and solve the problems of the mysterious electrical system boggarts that seem to be plaguing our wiring.
We had an electrician in today, and that was weird.
First individual to enter our house since, I think, mid-March.
Yeah, early March, more like it. Yeah. So that was interesting. So shall we actually get to the briefings?
Sure.
All right.
State-level updates on COVID-19 can be found online in multiple languages at coronavirus.wa.gov. Dialing 311 will get you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. Health department officials are staffing the coronavirus Q&A line 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week at 1-800-525-0127. For interpreters in other languages, press pound when they answer and say your language. You can also now text the coronavirus hotline at 211-211 in any language. Dialing 211 will connect you to community resources statewide through the United Way, and you can visit wa211.org online.
Just before air today, Governor Inslee gave a press conference in which he announced that most aspects of his stay-at-home order will be extended through May 31st. By May 15th, new construction, auto sales, curbside retail pickup, car washes, and drive-in spiritual services may begin as long as sites institute protocols for minimizing transmission. Municipalities may institute more restrictive ordinances, and certain counties with few cases will be able to apply for health department waivers from certain orders at all phases of reopening. Pierce County is currently not one of those counties at this time. He also encouraged residents to visit wamaskchallenge.org to find entities needing donations of cloth face coverings. Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson is answering questions about COVID-19 consumer protections all day via Twitter. Individuals may direct questions to Twitter at AGOWA, or tweet questions with the hashtag AskAGFerguson. Alaska Airlines will require all pilots, flight attendants, customer service agents, and passengers to wear masks while working or flying starting May 11th. Customers will be expected to bring their own mask, but will be provided with one if they forget. The mask policy is temporary, but has no end date at the moment. The airline is also blocking seats to increase distance between passengers on planes through May 31st.
Pierce County Parks has reopened Chambers Creek Regional Park as of today, and other Pierce County trailheads and parking lots will reopen to the public on May 5th. Restrooms, rec centers, playgrounds, picnic shelters, and athletic fields will all remain closed. The county may close parks again if areas become too crowded and physical distancing is not maintained. Full parking lots are a signal that visitors should come back later rather than try to park along neighborhood streets. Visitors should stay in your family or household group, making sure to give 25 feet of distance between your group and others while in lawn spaces.
Moving on locally, starting this Monday, May 4th, Tacoma residents with solid waste accounts will be able to drop off garbage at the Tacoma Recovery and Transfer Center, also known as the dump, on Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays, 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Residential yard waste loads will be accepted on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays from 8 to 5:30. Household hazardous waste will be dropped off Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, and Mondays, and payments must be made via credit card with physical distancing absolutely maintained. The Recycle Center, EnviroHouse, and Solid Waste Front Office Lobby will remain closed. Customers can call 253-502-2100 or visit cityoftacoma.org/solidwaste for more information. Additional funding has been added to the Tacoma Public Utilities Emergency Assistance Program in response to the COVID-19 emergency. General information on whether you qualify for a one-time utility credit can be found online at mytpu.org/emergency assistance. Tacoma residents can also call 253-572-5557, and TPU customers living in Pierce County can call 855-798-4328. The health department has advised individuals to stay out of the water at Thea Park and immediate surrounding areas along the Thea Foss Waterway due to a sewage spill that occurred on Wednesday. Walking along the waterway while maintaining distance from anyone not from your household is still okay. The Tacoma City Marathon that was scheduled to have taken place tomorrow has been canceled.
So those are just some of the things that are going on at the state level all the way down to our very local level.
Yeah, we knew Friday was going to be a big update day. So
I imagine that coronavirus.wa.gov Again, I've only said it 48,000 times. I imagine that it will be updated by the end of the day, if not by first thing on Saturday, with a lot of the things that were released and spoken about by the governor. One of the really neat things that was sort of detailed is the getting back to restaurants and public gatherings. And at some point, one of the later phases will be restaurants can open, but up to 50% capacity and only with tables as big as 5 people.
Right.
And so there sort of is something very reassuring about having specific plans as
right.
opposed to the unknowns weighing and hanging.
It seemed really unlikely that, you know, May 4th or May 31st was going to come along and we would just completely tear the lid off these quarantine things. And then it would go precisely to the way it was back in March when you and I were regularly attending events with 20 or 30 people at them. Mm-hmm. That seemed unlikely.
And I got to say that I'm glad for those kinds of, recommendations and phases and orders that are now coming to fruition and being detailed because mm-hmm. it erases some of that uncertainty.
Right.
And that can be comforting.
It can be.
But some other things that can be comforting and some other things that, well, I guess erase some of that uncertainty is something that you've been working on. And I should say, Sam, you are my interview today.
Oh, there's the segue. I was wondering when it was going to happen.
It's happening right now. That's not happening in phases.
No.
So I'm pleased to interview you today. As most of our listeners know, you are the chief engineer of KTQA, but you also do a lot of other work for just community and community activism, and you're also a technologist, as you've detailed.
Yeah, so I've been mentioning on the air and in other places that we've had a lot of, you know, announcements coming for KTQA or related to KTQA, and this is one of them that I've been working on. And that's one of the things that me and some of the people involved in the station do is distribute laptops to people who need them. And and computing devices. And as a result, because there's a greater need for computing devices among students right now than there has ever been, given that school now takes place on the internet, we have built as many computers as we can to be available to students here in Tacoma.
Now, you have been doing this for a little while, but this is a big push that you have right now. Where did the idea initially come from to say, let's get into the game of giving out computers to people who need them?
Well, it's an idea a few people have had, but we got started with my friend Josh, who I work with very closely. He's a very good friend of mine. He's an IT professional, and we both know that in business hardware usually has a shelf life and then is shelved and then goes to e-waste programs after a set period of time, after, you know, the investment has been made on the hardware, and then the hardware is decommissioned, it's cleaned out, and then it's thrown away. Also, for a lot of businesses, it's sometimes easier to just throw a laptop away than attempt to repair it. And I am, I do repair. I've repaired phones, laptops, any computing device you can name. I've probably tried repairing it. Phones are the worst. But if I can get out of trying to fix a phone, I will. But laptops are pretty easy to work on, for the most part. And so, we've gone to businesses that were throwing their laptops out. Basically, acted as a dumpster, and took on some laptops, got other hardware collected, and then we give a machine a once over, see what it, what it's capable of, what it's not capable of, is it usable by a person right now, install software, get it patched and up to date, and then distribute the laptops.
And all of that takes some donated time and labor and space. Oftentimes, I've been asking folks who work in a particular space to give us on a little visual walkthrough of their workspace. What's the living room look like right now, Sam?
It looks like the budget of a cheap science fiction film.
Okay.
Can't argue
with that.
Is what it looks like. In addition to the machines that that Josh has gotten us, my friend Nathan as well has gotten us some machines. And so they basically get the machines, and then I give them the once over. And so the last couple weeks, whenever I haven't been doing this or the other show or been sick, not sick per se,
just taking care of yourself,
taking care of myself. I've been working through these laptops, and I work on them 10 or 15 at a time, going from one, so the process is I go through them. It's like a three phase process. The first phase is I grab a laptop or I grab a computer. I turn it on. Does it smell bad? You would be surprised at how important smell is to diagnosing hardware, because there are certain smells that computers can give off that can tell you something really bad has happened.
Mm.
And so first thing I usually do with a machine that I haven't, one of the first things I do is give it the sniff test. It's like, ooh, okay, there's some bad caps in there. Or, ooh, okay, there's a chip that smoked in there. And those are two distinct smells. And
I imagine that someone with your exposure and expertise over the years has developed the ability to distinguish those things. To individuals in general, might it just kind of smell like a burnt plasticky kind of thing?
You really only have to experience it a couple times to know the difference.
Okay.
But it's weird when my friends give me a piece of hardware and they always give me a weird look, and one of the first things I do is smell it. And it made going to the Hamfest this year kind of difficult because I couldn't smell the hardware. But that's another story. So I'll give it a smell test. I'll look around and make sure it's got everything connected to it. And if not everything that's supposed to be there is there, I document it. Then I turn it on. Is the screen there? Sometimes the answer is no. Is the screen cracked? Often the answer is yes. Does the fan spin? Does it have a hard drive? What kind of processor does it have? How much RAM does it have? And I just sort of document the state of the machine, and I write it on a sticky note, slap it on the machine, set it aside, grab another machine, do the same thing, go through them all.
Okay, that's phase one, right?
That's phase one. And at the phase at the end of phase one, I'll have two piles. One pile that is machines that I think I'll be able to give out, or actually three piles. Machines that I'll be able to give out, parts donors for the machines that I'll be able to give out, and then garbage. Stuff that's just too broken to use in any meaningful way. I kind of see myself as sort of a shade tree mechanic of computers in this respect.
Okay.
Everybody knows what a parts car is. And parts computers are the same way. And then the second phase is making the computers that I'm going to give away, make sure they're completely functional. I type, a sentence on the keypad. I use the mouse. We jiggle all the buttons. We make sure everything works. And then phase three, which is the phase I'm wrapping up right now, is we turn all the computers on at once, and we have this grand installation procedure where we install operating systems, turn off as much tracking as I can, install as much open source software as I can, make sure all the systems are patched and up to date and free of whatever viruses, wipe hard drives if they had hard drives. Just make sure that they're free of data, free of weirdness, and immediately ready to use. And then once that's done, they're ready to go out the door.
I want to backtrack for a sec. You said turn off tracking software.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of spy-y stuff that some people feel a little bit uncomfortable with?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a, much like some of the people we've interviewed on the show, I'm a privacy enthusiast, I guess you could say, and if people want to opt into being tracked, that's fine, and I give them that option, but if I can avoid it, I can not hand out, I'd prefer not to hand out computers that track you, so. And some of the software that we install, like Firefox, will automatically send reports, so I turn all that off.
Okay, so any of the laptops that you would donate wouldn't have any kind of, I don't know, like tracking that would come back to you per se.
Absolutely not. Once these computers are out of my sight, they are out of my sight and out of my brain. I don't care about them. I don't want, for the most part, when I've handed out laptops before, the order has been anybody who needs them. Do you need a laptop? Then I'll try to get one together for you. This is one of the first times I'm really specifically targeting students.
So we should talk a little bit of who counts as a student? Who can get them? Are we looking at a kindergartner? Or are we looking at a college student?
Well, I'm looking mostly at high schoolers right now. But not just high schoolers. If you're in the area and you're a student and you could use a computer because either your phone isn't cutting it or your current computer is broken, your home computer, it might be busy because your family has somebody who's working from home and that's the only computer available. Let's say you're an avid student and you're a first time and you're going to college and you don't have a computer to take with you yet. That counts. Those are really the cases that we've looked for in the past when we've worked with students. But given the situation right now, I want to be as broad as possible as to what we're the kind of person we're looking for. But a public school student is basically what I'm looking at here.
And the hope would be that you would utilize the computer for your studies and continued connections with teachers and things like that?
Yeah, your studies and your continued connections and your Zoom meetings or whatever you're doing. For all of that stuff. But also, I installed Audacity, which is audio editing software. I installed a video editor on here. I installed a game called Super Tux Racer, which is a little bit like Mario Kart. Although some of the computers I don't think are strong enough to play it. Relax as well. I mean, relaxing and doing stuff that you like, I think, is just as important as your studies when you're a student. And so, yes, please, by all means, write your papers, go to your meetings, do the research that you need to do, but also take care of yourself. And if the computer can help you with that as well, so much the better.
And how should people get a hold of you, Sam, if they're like, hey, that's me. You're talking about me. There are 5 kids in my family and dad's working from home and we have 1 single measly desktop. I could really use this in order to, apply to college or do my AP test in 2 weeks or just continue to have my Zoom meetings with my teachers.
Well, you can go to daily.ktqa.org after this show, where we'll have a link to the pages at ktqa.org where you can ask for one. You can call us at our phone number anytime, starting, basically after we're off the air here, so that we can go answer the phone, because right now, if you called us, none of us would be able to answer it. And that phone number is
253-330-8821.
Okay. And what we have right now are tablet-style machines with some with type covers, you know, where they get the built-in integrated keyboard, some without, and then a few traditional laptops that they're those are Lenovo's, and they're pretty bulletproof. I'm a fan of that brand.
In terms of bulletproofing, most of the time when we've done this, you've really liked to give laptops with a full carrying case and everything. But
that's a thing.
A little caveat right now, isn't it?
I try not to give out a laptop without a case, because I've seen people with laptops who use laptops and don't have cases. They never survive past a year, or they never. You know, they usually end up with significant bruising or significant scratches or anything like that. So normally when I give it a laptop, I try to give you the whole deal. Sometimes I even get away docking stations. This is a little bit different because our ability to scrounge for components is so limited because we're all stuck at home. So I've had to go deep into like my spare parts bin for things like that. One of the differences here is that some of the machines that we're giving away with come with mechanical drives, which is something I normally don't do these days. I always try to put SSDs in them, especially because decent SSDs are so inexpensive these days. But my ability to acquire SSDs is really limited right now. So we're doing mechanical drives.
If someone has an interest in, I guess, expanding your ability a little bit more, should they also contact? Like if they say, I have 10 laptop bags in my closet.
If you're getting a new laptop, because if you're getting a laptop from me because your old one's broken, I'll take the old one off your hands. I might be able to fix it up and pass it on. Or I could use it as a parts laptop. If you're one of those IT guys who's decommissioning a bunch of laptops and is about to turn them over to e-waste, yeah, I wouldn't mind hearing from you. Absolutely.
We should say also, though, that we're minimizing contact with all of the objects that we get and the people who, you know, have been nearby.
Yeah, okay.
I've been on wipe down duty.
Yeah, I guess I should have mentioned phase zero, which is where we decontaminate the machines or not touch them for a while, like a week. And then phase four, which is we again decontaminate the machines, although we'd expect you to do that. So when you get this laptop, it's probably going to come in a brown paper bag, unfortunately. But it will be a functional machine. And that's really the important part. But yeah, so if you're a person who likes a machine with a nice screen and doesn't care so much about how much horsepower you've got, the tablet machines work pretty good for you. If you're somebody who's hoping to go into IT or need a little bit more horsepower, the more traditional or you're a klutz like us, specifically you and me, the traditional laptops might be a better fit for you.
What if something breaks? You know, I get my laptop, I'm doing my thing, and then June 10th comes around, and oh no, little sister breaks it by, I don't know, swinging her dolly into the screen, or I accidentally overturn a cup of coffee on it.
That's already happened a couple times, and what I usually say is no promises, but we will do what we can. I've replaced machines, I've fixed machines. Those that I'm handing mechanical drives to, once this is over and we can socialize again, I will be available for doing swaps to SSDs for that. If they're broken and I can, I'll try to fix them, and we'll try to fix them. But keep in mind, we're not a big charity. We're just a bunch of computer enthusiasts who want to do something positive with our hobby. And this radio station really was just the most, the nearest, the best way to sort of get that information out there and say, hey, we're available, we're doing this, and we want to help.
And anyone else who wants to help can also contact daily at ktqa.org, I'm assuming?
Yeah, absolutely. Like anything we're doing, literally anything I'm doing, I could always use help. And participation, and yeah, and come to my projects and make them yours. Take ownership and turn it into something cool.
But not until it's safe to actually come to your projects in person.
True.
Well, Sam, I'm excited to hear a little bit from you. Although it means that I'm staying super, hyper, hyper local today on KTQA Daily.
Yeah,
briefing.
We didn't even leave the house.
I emptied the trash and recycled today, so.
Okay, fair enough. But I mean, like, for this show, we didn't leave the house. Like, normally we at least get somebody else somewhere in Tacoma, but today it's just me.
Yeah, but I think you'll be hearing from other voices in Tacoma for at least, I don't know, another week or two.
Perhaps another month. I guess we'll need to talk about that.
Absolutely.
Are we wrapping up?
I think we're wrapping up, unless there's anything else that you would like to share with our listener, Sam.
Right. So like I said, just to summarize, if you are a student in the area and you have need of a laptop, by the end of today, you'll be able to go to ktqa.org. There will be a link there for you. We'll mention it again on this show. If you're listening to the show and you're not a student, but you know somebody who needs one, please pass the information on. We have tablet style computers and a few laptops, and we'll try to accommodate as many people as we can. So, again, go to ktqa.org, and, I'd say in about an hour, cause I'm about to wrap this up, and then, I'll go put that article up that I've been working on, and maybe we'll be able to help some people out. That'd make me feel pretty good. And, right, I'm going back to being the host. You can dial 311 for City of Tacoma non-emergency information line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily at ktqa.org. You can call or text us at 253-330-8821.
I think we're going to take the weekend off, but we'll...
Unless something important occurs, we'll be taking Saturday and Sunday off again.
We'll talk to you again on Monday.
Yeah, so unless something important happens, see you Monday.
KTQA LP 95.3 Tacoma.